Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's three more to win it all. Let's talk to Dave right now. Dave, good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Mr. Kelsey.
What up, Dave?
Leah. How you guys doing?
Awesome.
Mr. Kelsey, your documentary on Netflix, man, was really eye-opening at heart. So thank you for sharing your family with us and all those inner workings of what you go through. Man, you are that dude.
I appreciate it, Dave. I really do. That was a fun thing to put together. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. And so I just want to address all the crazy cats in this area, man, because I need to be hyped for this game coming up, man. You know what I'm saying? So my stepdad, a great man that he was and big Eagles fan, he taught me never to come in a situation from like a diminished mind state or a fearful mind state. So I don't care if I got to fight the biggest kid on the block. When I come into it, I'm coming with the idea that I'm going to beat his ass.
There you go.
I'm not coming into it with the idea that he's going to maul me. So I'm really sick and tired of hearing about what's in the other guy's toolbox. I'm really sick and tired of everybody being afraid of this guy.
I don't think many are, Dave. I don't think many are in this case.
Man,
he's trying to ramp him up.
Just let him go.
Stop interrupting, Dave. He's on a roll.
Go ahead.
As much as I get on the radio and hear, oh, I'm afraid of starting from game one. Oh, I'm afraid of Green Bay. They do this well. And no. Here's my favorite. If the Eagles keep playing this certain way, the better teams are going to beat us. Oh, yeah? Who? Lamar Jackson, who? Burrow, who? Who? Who's going to beat us? We're the bullies. We got to talk from the standpoint of we're the bullies, baby. Whether it's your stadium or our stadium, we're going to shut the windows and close the doors, turn the lights out. It's night. Everywhere we go.
Well,
man.
Done, Dave. Yes, well, Dave. Done, sir.
Dave.
Well done.
I'm not talking from the standpoint of they need to be afraid of us.
Yeah,
LA Rams, you're going to do your kindness, LA Rams. With everything you're going on, your brothers are Philly. We love you. We're going to knock you in the mouth and send you home so you can deal with your personal issues, because we love you and we're kind. Like
well
that.
Done, Dave.
Hell yeah, Dave.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, Dave.
Sidelines, so you can go home and deal with your issues, man. And the last thing I'm going to say,
All right, Dave.
We need Dave in the locker room before the game.
That was good.
A freaking heck of a pregame speech.
That was good.
I've never heard of a fan manufacturing all of this slights and arrows.
Right.
I know teams do it all the time.
Right.
But then you're like, well, nobody's really done that. And we're like, shut up. Let him go.
That was great. Well done, Dave. Great, great phone call. All right, Jason, we could have snow. Sounds like we probably will. This stuff always... changes. You can have more, you can have less, you can have none.
Mm-hmm.
Right now they're saying about an hour before kickoff. Playing in the snow. So first off, your personal experience, what it does for the game, and then secondarily, your sense of the impact on this game with this matchup. Snowball, obviously 2013, your most famous one. Give us your thoughts.
Well, obviously it depends on how much snow, right? Like if it's just like a little bit, it really doesn't affect the game at all. It really doesn't affect it until the ground is covered in it and it starts to affect traction. I love snow. I love snow games. I love playing in them. I love spectating them. I love being in the stands. I think it's one of the beautiful things about football is that you play the game on the day, and whoever's better on that day wins. And it does impact the game, for sure. It definitely makes a difference. And I just have always loved it. And, you know, typically, like, if it's snowing, it just puts you in the mindset of, like, being a kid again, and you're out there with your mm-hmm. buddies. And, like, I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and, you know, we would, the moment snow's on the ground, everybody's playing tackle football because it just hurts less. And it's, I don't know, it was just.
It really does hurt less. Yeah. It feels like it almost encapsulates you and, like, shrouds mm-hmm. you and protects you.
Yeah.
But it feels, I don't know, maybe, like, we ice ourselves after games
maybe
to, like, deaden
true, yeah.
some of that pain and keep some of the inflammation out. It's almost like it's free ice. Like, God is sprinkling us with stuff that makes us hurt less, and then we're going to go take it out on each other. And it really does feel like you can lay into people just a little bit more. And it's like the perfect feeling hit every time. I don't know. I don't know exactly how to describe it.
Yeah,
but I love the warmth, the extra warmth of the hit when you get tackled in the snow and you hit the ground. And it really does shroud you and augment you as a player for some reason.
Yeah, there's some weird, like, primal instinct, I think, that just, like, hits you when you're in the snow and, like, you're in this, like, survival, like, mode, and you're out there with your buddies.
Oh, man.
It's just a very invigorating feeling.
There's more glee.
Oh, my
gosh. There's more joy. It really does transport you back to when you're out in the backyard. So there's that, like, the extra, holy cow, I've got to appreciate this because it really is what it's all about.
Well, so ultimately, Jason, I want to get the answer from you. Does it help or hurt the Eagles in this situation? Let's listen to something Rex Ryan said yesterday on ESPN. He's referencing, of course, his dad, our beloved buddy Ryan, who, you know, 30, 40 years ago, I mean, he was the guy around here. Here is Rex Ryan talking about Buddy, talking about football, talking about snow.
My dad used to say, hey, when the snow flies, man, the most physical team wins. Philly, slam dunk.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, that's a great quote.
Is he right? does it benefit the Eagles? Does it hurt the Eagles? Because I've heard different arguments. I've heard that. I've also heard through the years that snow and weather can help the lesser teams because wacky things happen. So how do you size this up?
I mean, it can help the lesser teams or it can hurt the lesser teams.
Sure.
Who are more prone to accidents. But I think it's definitely true offensively. The team that is more physical in the game plan, that is better at, like, running the ball and doing things like that, is going to be to the advantage. Like, I think speed is going to be more neutralized and brute strength is going to be more magnified. You brought up the 2013 game against Detroit. I would say, like, that front was about as physical as I've ever seen in the NFL. And I thank God every day we played them in the snow. And Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley were wreaking havoc. And we got to play them in a game where they could not get their footing. So I think snow is to the advantage of the offensive line.
Does that hurt Eagles' defense in a game like this where they walk in with superior defense?
It could potentially.
Like, far superior.
They're not going to run the ball like that.
But if we're talking about, like, pass rush, like, if you go back to the Super Bowl that we lost, like, a bad field that you can't get traction on hurts a pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
As an offensive lineman, I always loved rain games and snow games, partially because my job was just going to be easier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, guys are going to be able to get on an edge less. They're going to be able to, their explosion isn't going to be the same.
Yeah.
And it's their job to beat me. A stalemate is my win. Mm-hmm. So I think that the team that can run the ball better is typically going to win, but it will neutralize a great pass rush, which the Eagles do have right now. Potentially. It might not. It depends on the amount and all that. I do think it's harder to throw the ball in the snow. I mean, we played Matthew Stafford in that 2013 Detroit game.
That's right.
And they had one big throw early on to Megatron, and then after that, it was about it. Like, you just couldn't. I mean, I should remember going out there and looking at the secondary, and Detroit was wearing, like, their white and silver uniforms, and you could not see the safeties. Like, it was that much snow.
That's
coming
crazy.
Down.
Like, you I'm really like, can't
I
see the safeties.
Don't, like, I can see a shape of something that I think is a safety, but I have no idea who's over there.
How do you track the safeties jockeying when you can't see them?
Exactly.
They really are disguised.
Yeah. That's great,
snow.
Man.
So all right. I think that ultimately, I think their team is much more predicated on the quarterback, like, throwing the ball as a dropback passer. And in general, I think those offenses are hurt more with conditions like this.
That's great.
So
love it.
That's my opinion, yeah.
Love it a lot. All right, great to be with you on this Thursday morning. Getting ready for the playoff game. Eagles and Rams. Jason Kelce in studio with us here. Reminder, Life Advice with the Hammer coming up in about an hour. So get to Seltzer and let him know what you need some help with in life. He'll choose one such scenario and fire off some life advice with the hammer at me coming up in an hour. Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Three ways that you can interact with the show and tell us what you need help with, and I will do my best. All right, we'll get to the NFL playoffs, the other games, besides just the Eagles coming up shortly. Plus, what's A.J. Brown said, Jaws. We got a lot of stuff this hour, including a lot with Jason right now. So, Jason, our first chance talking to you since TV show number two.
Hey, yo. Yeah.
How did you feel? How do you feel? What are your thoughts? How's it going?
I thought it was a lot better. I mean, we're still working things out. I think I was definitely more comfortable. I thought I was a better host in episode two. I thought, you know, we had Joe Buck and Michelle Beisner Buck, and they just had such great chemistry. And Joe is just an awesome personality.
I would hope they'd have good chemistry being married, by the way. I'm just saying.
Which is not always the case.
That's right.
But they were both fantastic. I mean, and he set the stage right away when he went up on stage. It was so just off the cuff, and I think that it was a lot better. So I'm looking forward to this one this week, tomorrow. Got a great guest lined up, a bunch of guests. So
are those guests a secret for now?
We have Roger Goodell.
Ooh,
wow.
Jeez, that's kind of big.
That is big. He never talks, too.
I know. Yeah, Roger, Chad Johnson, and then Andrew Whitworth.
That's great.
Nice, man.
That's awesome. It'll be a really fun group, yeah.
Good Lighten job, man. Up.
Yeah.
Now, you are having a former Ram on your show.
I thought it was a good week. Whit was in the link wearing a Lane Johnson jersey last week, and now his former team has come to play. So.
I love that.
That's great. And him on the Fires will be a thing, because you know he really did give a nice presentation before that Rams playoff game
I'm
on the Fires.
You, and even when he won the Walter Payton Man of the Year, Whit, whenever he's doing a speech, and, I mean, even I would listen to him mic'd up doing like Cincinnati Bengals speeches before games. He is freaking great, man. He is just a well-spoken guy. He's emotionally like cognizant of things at a high level, and I think that he gets to like the root, just like primal like level of things in a way that's really good, and I just think he's fantastic.
Yeah. Love it. That's great. All right, let's get some calls in here. Jason with us for a bit more. 215-592-9494. Talk to Joe and Clayton. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Let me get you off speaker.
You got it, Joe.
Good morning. How are you? Jason, how are you?
How you doing, Joe?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Listen, I am totally positive about this game. We have the top defense in the league. We have one of the top five offenses in the league. We're going to take care of business.
Yeah.
There's, no doubt in my mind. Jason, there's a question I got to ask you I've been wanting to ask a lot of people.
Shoot.
About college football.
All right.
Offensive linemen wear double braces. Most of them do. How come the answer is obvious for protection? How come it never translated into the NFL?
it's a great question. I wore them in college, and the moment I didn't have to, I stopped wearing them. I think that there's a few reasons. One, in college, they mandate that all the kids wear them. So it's
Everyone hates it.
Yeah.
Everyone hates it. The linemen and the quarterbacks at the places that I was, the linemen and all the quarterbacks, D linemen, offensive linemen, linebackers, they all have to wear them. And then the skill guys, the guy, you know, DBs and the guys who catch passes, they don't have to wear them.
Right.
I felt so lucky that I didn't have to.
Yep.
Because I was like a mini lineman.
I think there's a couple reasons why guys, and there are some teams that have notoriously worn them, like the Patriots, I believe, used to wear them, and that was a Belichick would kind of enforce that and encourage it. And there's an advantage to having the brace on, obviously, which is protection. There's also disadvantages that, you know, you're just not as nimble and as athletic in them. You're just not, and at a level in the NFL where the D linemen are so quick and so athletic, you want to be in your optimal level to be able to block somebody, and you're hindered slightly with a knee brace. And then the other reason I think the guys in the league just don't wear them is typically the reason you wear those is because guys will roll up on you and people will get thrown to the ground. In college, that happens at a much, much higher rate because the caliber of athlete, quite frankly, is just less. And they also don't have as much knowledge of the game, so they get put in more compromising situations. In the NFL, that doesn't happen at the same rate, so people just get rolled up on less. It's not as frequent. So I think that, you know, I've gone back and forth on it. I blew my ACL out my second year and wore a brace on both of my knees the following year. So I've done it with them on and with them off. And I think that at the end of the day, I always just liked being more athletic and the way it felt. And I was willing to take that risk in the NFL level. But
guys hate the braces. Guys hate pads. Just look, compare college kids' pads to NFL guys' pads.
I would go in my shoulder pads and remove dramatically as many padding.
Yeah.
Because I hated it. I wanted it to be as little as possible. So, I mean, you know.
And the college kids are trying to get as much as possible. They think it looks cool. Somewhere along the way, even the pads in your pants. Look at college kids. They're all wearing big old thigh boards and big old knee pads. The NFL guys, they don't even have them on.
Well, we
because
have
you're
to
not.
Now.
Oh, really?
So for when I first got in the league, it was that you could have the option of whether you wanted to wear them or not.
Oh, now they're little tiny plastic
little
things.
Bitty things that just get you to pass uniform code.
All right, Joe, give me an answer. Who deserves a crown?
Well, a king wears a crown. His company logo was a crown, and his name was Don King, the king of professional boxing promoters.
Don King.
Clever way of going about it, I suppose.
Don King. He was. You don't see him much these days.
His hair kind of looked like a crown.
Oh, that's good call. Jason, yeah.
Jason, do you know that he went to jail for, I think it was 4 years for manslaughter?
I knew that there was something that had happened, but I don't think I remembered that.
Yeah. That was like before he became famous. Like that's not good.
You usually can't get away with it after you've become famous.
He's 93.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
93 for Don King.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. All right. So let's do a couple more things here while Jason's with us. Let's start with the AJ book thing. Let's play AJ yesterday talking about the reaction to the book thing. Here's AJ Brown yesterday in the locker room.
A lot, but, you know, none of that stuff really matters. I'm going to continue to be myself. I'm not pretending. It's not a facade or anything, you know. You know, who cares who don't like it, you know. I'm a 3-time All-Pro. Yes, I'm going to pop my
something might
that's just what it is. That is what it is, and, you know, I do that for myself. You know, I don't care nobody. Like, I'm not a distraction, you know. So, most importantly, I go out there and do my job. So all the other, you know, it don't matter.
All right, so AJ totally locked in. Obviously, it sounds like he's going to keep doing it. I think it's fine. It's a weird visual. Sirianni backed him. I think it's fine. But let's get to what Michael Irvin said. Obviously, premier receiver in the 1990s. And he talked yesterday on TV on FS1 about the situation.
You see yourself in AJ Brown.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. That's why when everybody said, what is he doing? I said, the man is totally focused. This is totally focused. I'm focused on my energy being good energy for the team, and I'm going to focus on me, and I know I can't let this situation take over me. I understand it because he and I are the same dude. I understand what he was doing right there, and I think all of us, a lot of receivers need to learn it. And even do this right here, what he's doing, because it really is brilliant. They got through the game, and he was out there joking when Saquon didn't go all the way and run. You know what I mean? So it put him back in the right frame of mind, even though he only got one pass. I don't know if the book could have helped me with one pass in a playoff game, but it helped him, and that's good. That's good.
All right, so
very good.
Irvin
that's
being
very good.
The playmaker being the playmaker.
You know, he belched on our show, Jason.
Belched.
He actually belched while asking.
Do you want to hear
it? Time out from answering a question to belch.
Here, yeah, here. We? This is Michael Irvin belching
you
on our show.
Have this audio ready?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Good job.
There was a player a little while ago, excuse me.
Play it again?
There was a player a little while ago, excuse me.
It's astounding.
The excuse me is so great.
I wonder
so
if we had good. Dropped the year back then if that would have won. So Jason, yeah. The visual is strange of a player. And look, I've made the case. I think you can make a case that either putting the content on a tablet or a piece of paper would probably be better for
optics.
I'll call it the league.
Well, just the optics.
Clearly optics. Because it looks ridiculous. But I totally support his rationale for doing it and trying to be locked in. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly very weird,
yep.
Right? And I think that, you know, the visual of it, I think, is distracting. And that alone, I think, is worth, you know, broaching. Can we just put like a couple of the passages that you really like down on a piece of paper that we can make look like a game plan or something?
Yeah, exactly.
But I think, you know, at the end of the day, all that matters is that AJ is ready to go. And if, like, I'm not going to criticize a guy that is that good and clearly is ready to go, whatever he needs to do, I trust that. And I think at the end of the day, everybody in the Eagles knows that AJ's a great person. He's a great teammate. And he's a guy that everybody in that building loves. Yeah. So I think that when you approach it from that mindset, it's not like a big thing. And at the end of the day, he's been doing it also for a while, which I don't know how the cameras missed it before.
Amazing.
Right?
Amazing.
With how many cameras are out there, you would think that this would have already been brought up. But anyways, that's kind of my overall thought on it.
I agree. No, I get it. All right, a couple other quickies. No Nakobe. I mean, they should be able to overcome it. They've played a couple games without him, but it's a bummer. Look, I got to be honest. I feel worse about it for him on a personal level.
For sure.
Than even the team. And that's saying something because I'm an Eagles fan. I want to see them win. But this is a guy that was on the precipice of a contract, potentially. He was going to be eligible for a contract.
No doubt.
Can't imagine he gets one now. What a shame.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, he's been plagued by some of these injury things. And, you know, he came out of college and it was a fantastic player out of Georgia. He's been a fantastic teammate in Philadelphia. And it felt like he was really just coming into his own this year, him and Zach Bond. And I credit that largely to his commitment. I think that the coaches, I've talked about Bobby King, the linebacker coach, before, also Vic Fangio. I just think they do a great job of getting those guys ready. And, you know, both of those guys are playing at such a high level, especially this last game. Nakobe was playing very good.
He was great.
He's making multiple plays. So, yeah, you feel terrible for the guy because, you know, this is a big year for him to come back and to have a big year. So
he's going to have to prove it again. I mean, that's the bottom.
Unfortunately,
unless the Eagles get him super cheap, which would be a shame for Nakobe.
Yes.
You know, maybe they make that type of super cheap offer, but chances are there's no offseason contract. He has to come back, prove it again, and then they try to sign him either during next season or after the season when he's a free agent.
We probably won't be ready to start the year now.
Yeah, I know.
The Patella's a weird one, too. It's not like, I don't know, it's in some ways like the ACLs have become so like structured. And
patellar
it feels
tendon,
like it's like an inevitability that the guy's going to come back
It's
now.
Like Tommy John surgery almost in baseball.
For some reason, the patella is still like a weird one that you don't see that often. We have two of them. We had two guys go down with the patella this year, which
it
is rare.
It used to be the patellar tendon took a little bit longer, and now it's a lot longer for some reason. Like it feels like that time for the ACL has shrunk and the patellar tendon just stayed the same.
Yeah.
Where it's like it was always like 10 months, 12 months until it's fully feeling like normal again. Where ACL, it's like now 4, yeah, 5.
The ACL really doesn't do a whole, I mean, I shouldn't say this, but like there's guys that have, they used to call them like trick knees, the guys that play without ACLs.
Well, DeJuan Blair in the NBA, remember?
You can't function your quad without your patella. So like the mechanical function of that tendon is just more important.
John Elway played without ACLs his entire life.
Remember like, that DeJuan Blair when he came out of Pitt? ACLs. He would have been a first-round pick. He ended up going the second.
Ward, the same thing?
Maybe.
Maybe
I don't know.
That's wild.
It really is. You got big quads. It holds your leg where your ACL would, too.
All right, so Jason, let's rock it through a few other things. The other three playoff games.
Yeah, I got one, too, I need to ask.
Go ahead, John.
The Eagles, holy cow, the loss, I forgot what it was. Kellen Moore, it's likely that he's going to, you know, interview. It's possible that he goes to Dallas. How big a loss would it be if we lose our offensive coordinator?
I mean, this is what you're going to deal with every time you're having good years and, you know, people are going to be poaching your coaches. You know, I think it's always a big deal whenever you're replacing a coordinator if you have to.
Yeah.
You know, especially a coordinator that's calling the plays. Hopefully they're prepared and they have an idea of where to go if that does happen. And if not, they'll do interviews. And, you know, I think that...
Does it have to be the same language type guy? You know, is it the, is it so much?
Nick. I think a lot of this is, you know, what is Nick like? Who does he work the best with? What system speaks his language as well? And I think that him and Kellen have proven to be a really good team, just like him and Shane were a really good team, because I think they thought about the game in a similar way. And I think the language is unfortunate because it will change a little bit probably. And that's, like, to, you know, for Jalen, you know, we've already talked about, like, how much he's had to do that in college and then in his career. Like, it's another year if this happens. Like, I don't know that it is going to happen.
Right. Sure.
But, it's always a little bit awkward. But, listen, they just did it this past year, and it's worked out pretty good. So, I think that Nick, for the most part, has made really good hires. You know, early, right when he got the job, and then obviously this past year, he's made two great hires in Kellen and Vic.
Okay.
So I think he's got a good eye for this stuff, and, you know, if that does happen, they'll figure it out.
All right, let's just rock it through the three other games, Detroit and Washington. I wish two of these three were more interesting. I mean, Detroit and Washington is interesting from our standpoint because Eagles play the winner if the Eagles advance, but I don't think it's going to be that good a game. Detroit and Washington, what do you think?
I think Detroit is going to win, but I've also been down on Washington all year, not as a hater. It feels like they are missing a certain amount of talent whenever I look at them and watch them play. I think that they're very well coached. I think Dan Quinn finds a way to limit run games with the players he has. And Bobby Wagner is a great player, and he can make a defense better just by being smart and anticipating and telling guys what's coming.
Yep.
And he makes a load of difference for that defense, I think. That being said, I think Detroit is so much more physically talented than them in the line of scrimmage game. I really think that they're probably going to win this game handily. I mean, I think it'll be by more than a score. And for a playoff game, I think that's a pretty big win.
Sure.
So
yep.
I think Detroit will win. I think they're just... I think Washington, to me, is still a year or two away. But they are there. And as much as Eagles fans don't want to hear this, Jaden Daniels is very good.
A problem.
Dan Quinn is very good. Yeah. This is a good group that is going to continue to get better.
Changes the division. All right. Yeah. KC rarely blows teams out this year, but it would be a shock if they lose to the Houston Texans, right?
I think it would be beyond a shock. I mean, the one thing that, you know, the big thing that I'm going into the game thinking about is the offensive line versus the Texans' defensive line. The Texans' D-line, similar to the Rams, I mean, they just completely took over that game against the Chargers. Yep. They got a lot of pressure against a good O-line in the Chargers, and then they have a great secondary. So, you know, I think that at the end of the day, though, they have Pat Mahomes. I think that the KC
line... They got a guy named Travis Kelce also.
They have Travis, but to me, this is like, if as long as their line can hold up, Kansas City's going to win. I don't see the Texans' offense doing much against Kansas City's defense.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And then the big one, other than from our standpoint, I mean, Buffalo and Baltimore is an all-timer.
Oh, yeah.
It's an all-time division round game. Who wins?
This is the toughest one. I think...
it's the toughest one in years.
I think that, again, if we're looking at just at the rosters and talent-wise, I think Baltimore is probably the most talented team left in the AFC. I think that they're loaded. That being said, Baltimore can also be the most self-destructive potentially in the AFC. Like, they have a tendency sometimes to just make mistakes and it's cost them in the regular season. But I do not think Buffalo is going to be able to stop the rushing attack for Baltimore.
Wow.
I think Baltimore will probably win, but I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Allen and the Bills pull it off.
Okay. You going to the Eagles game on Sunday?
Can't wait.
Good for you, man.
Let's go, baby.
That sideline. Where are you? You know, in a suite sideline. What do you? How do you?
We got a few people coming, so we're all chipping in for a suite. Yeah,
good man.
Doing it big. Yeah,
we'll enjoy it, Jason.
A hoity-toity action.
You have
fancy Jason Kelce over here. Yeah,
but still drinking garage beer. You know, it's, you know.
Well, in the link, that's hard to get. I got some, but yes.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, Jason, enjoy the game, man, and thanks for being here as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
There he is, the great Jason Kelce. All right, 215-592-9494. We got to close down the Twitter poll from the 7 o'clock hour. So let's give the results of that, and then we'll get to the final two polls. So Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. In 2025, Armin Chevy proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive, ArminChevy.com. All right, poll question from last hour. Which of these is the most iconic photo? So the three choices were the Marines raising the flag at Iwo Jima, Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, photograph of that, and the Hindenburg disaster. James, which of those three would you personally choose?
I would choose Iwo Jima.
John, which would you choose?
Yeah, I think Iwo Jima takes it.
Okay, Rhea, which would you go
Iwo
with?
Iwo Jima.
I agree. I agree with that. All right, John, how do you think the results came in?
Probably similarly overwhelming. For Iwo Jima, let's say 73%.
So 74. Close.
Wow. You're good. 74% Iwo Jima, 18% I Have a Dream speech, 8% the Hindenburg. So in the finals, will be JFK Jr.'s salute to his dad's coffin and the Marines raising the flag at Iwo Jima. And now one more poll semifinalists that we need to determine which one advances to the finals in the 9 o'clock hour here.
Can we just add Earthrise in for an extra? Because I think
it deserves
to win, or at least to be competing.
This ain't double elimination, man. The people have spoken.
I just think that's a mistake.
All right. Well, JFK Jr. saluting is a big one, man. I mean, that's not,
I know.
All right. So here are the final three semifinalists. The Times Square Kiss, VJ Day, end of World War II. That's a huge one. Marilyn Monroe's dress getting blown a little bit there.
Mm.
And the atomic bomb. Okay.
Okay. I feel good about this one, actually. I feel strongly.
Well, it's either going to be bomb or Times Square.
I feel strongly. I'm not going to say where I feel strongly.
Fair enough. But we'll say. So get voting at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. We'll close that one down in about a half an hour and then have the three, whichever they are, in the finals in the 9 o'clock hour. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Liz at Fairmount. Liz, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, Liz.
Let's go Birds.
Indeed. I like how you just cut to the chase, Liz. You know, like, why beat around the bush? Just get right to it.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm
although
good.
It is more like a go Birds. Let's go Birds. That's more of a Flyers thing. That's let's go Flyers.
Yeah.
The Eagles thing is normally go Birds.
Go Birds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what do you got for us, Liz? Anything else or just that?
No, you were asking about the crown, and I think Big Dom gets the crown this week.
Big Dom. Wow.
Yeah.
I like that.
Big Dom. All right. That's a good answer, Big Dom.
Yeah.
He was in the news this week a little bit.
He was in the news.
Handling business, as they say.
He's a business handler, is what he does.
Exactly my point.
All right, Liz, well done. Thank you for the phone call. Let's go to Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Morning, team. How's everyone doing?
Doing well, Ed.
So I'm sort of mulling the Kellen Moore status, and I really don't feel his departure would be that impactful in Jalen. I really think it's important to hold on to Doug Nussmeier, their position coach, because I think he does very well with quarterbacks, just to have that kind of continuity similar to what Statlin's had with his O-line. Not to say that any system could work with Jalen. It obviously can't. But I think in terms of his development, Coach Nussmeier would be able to bridge any sort of gap as far as learning a new language with play calling. Just wanted to know what you thought about that, John.
Sure. I anticipate you'd try to keep everything as similar as possible, everything else if Kellen leaves. But we know that when coaches take off, sometimes their friends join them.
Sometimes.
If they're in a position
and he came with them here, didn't
power.
He?
They have been together for quite a while. Those two, haven't they? Nussmeier and Kellen Moore.
I wonder if he'd be the OC in Dallas.
Probably.
That happens sometimes.
So, yeah. And this is just another one of those side effects that I have a major problem at the very root of it all is the fact that we tried to hire a coach who was going to call plays and he failed at that. That's why we have this Ferris wheel or merry-go-round, whatever you want to call it, that it's instability. That the bottom line is our quarterback is being delayed in his development and progress to some degree. Arguably, how much I don't know, but man, having a new language every year, having a new offense every year, it has set him back.
All right, Ed, give me an answer, my man. Who needs a crown?
I don't really have I'm just going to go ahead and say the hammer.
Well, I agree. I mean, I'm not going to vote for myself because that's not my style.
No.
Wait a minute. Maybe it is, actually. But I'll write myself. I was said earlier, so I can't win. All right. So, A.J. Brown.
That's not why you can't win.
Well, that's probably true.
We wouldn't vote for you.
That is definitely true.
More so, D.I.U.
Even if I voted for myself.
You would get one vote.
Yes, I would get outvoted. That is true. All right, so A.J. did not practice yesterday, officially listed on the Eagles injury practice report as not having practice for knee/rest. Knee/rest. So, you know, we've wondered, was he, you know, a little banged up in the game last week? Did that affect?
He was sitting out last week on Wednesday for knee/rest.
Exactly.
Also.
Exactly.
So my answer to that was he banged up in this last game. He sat out exactly
probably.
The same way prior to the game.
Probably.
So my answer would be probably not.
They're managing.
I would say, no, he's a little banged up. They're managing him
That's
right
all.
Now. Yeah, he's a little
fine.
He's fine, but also a little banged up. He's not, you know, he's not
just like everyone else. And
well, he could be more banged up than
ready
others.
To go We've gone except N'Kobe Dean
right.
for this game.
All right. So let's get to AJ Brown, something he said yesterday. So James, I'm going to tell you right now there are three words that you're about to hear from AJ Brown that will stand out to you near the end of his answer.
Oh, great. Can't wait to hear what they are.
I just want you to know that.
Okay. Good.
But he's talking about his
Is it hello James Seltzer? They stand out to me now. Okay,
no.
I was just checking. Okay, just
but
checking.
I want you. He's talking about, you know, the health situation being banged up or not, that whole deal. All right, but listen carefully to three words he says near the end of this. I think two or three answers here. Here's AJ Brown yesterday.
AJ, how did the knee feel after the game? And I know you weren't at practice today. Was that the same as last week, just managing it?
Yeah, I felt fine after the game. You know, came out clean and. You know, it's just all a part of the plan. You know, I'll be out there tomorrow. So.
Did you feel like yourself out there on Sunday, or did you feel like any impact?
No, I was fine, moving around fine. You know, I was open, and, you know, I was cool.
Yeah, I was open.
Slid that in there, did he, Joe?
Oh, just threw that in there?
He just.
Always open, though. That's his thing.
That is his thing. I think that was in response to, I mean, let's be honest, because it's caused a lot of consternation amongst people. To Orlovsky going, not open, not open, not open, not open.
I agree.
I don't, you know.
I agree.
I mean, as much as, you know, some people want to just totally defend Jalen, the receivers don't like to hear that.
Well, he knows he was open on the deep pass, on the fake tush push.
Which was a great play call, by the way.
He
I loved it.
And smart on the third and one.
Every play. Every wide receiver who's worth his salt believes, even when he's covered, and that is the case with AJ.
Well,
when he's covered, I'm throwing it anyway.
They were
Jalen
open, John, on
is not
Sunday.
Throwing it when he's risk adverse.
That's right. So, James, should we not talk about this and not cause a problem for the Eagles?
I actually don't take it the way you take it.
Okay.
I don't. No, because this is what he always does. He has a thing on his locker that says, I'm always open. I think that any time he answers a question like that, he's going to throw in, I'm open. Like,
I think he went out of his way this time.
I don't.
Yeah,
I think you're making a little something out of nothing.
You
I do.
Are.
He picked up the book when he knew they would be on him.
He was frustrated.
He was frustrated.
I think it's frustrated.
But James, I don't have a problem with them doing it. I absolutely think it was not the question that was asked. You know, my knee's fine. Yeah. You know, I'm
open. Let's listen to it one more time so people can hear and assess, you know, just the methodology of how he got to throwing those three words in.
You know, Jamar Chase was saying the same thing all year about Joe Burrow.
He's not in Philadelphia.
He's not in Philadelphia.
And understand
I just think
that.
It's the way he talks.
It could be,
his Twitter handle is always open.
Listen to what he said. You be the judge.
AJ, how did the knee feel after the game? And I know you weren't at practice today. Was that the same as last week, just managing it?
Yeah, I felt fine after the game. You know, came out clean and... You know, it's just all a part of the plan. You know, I'll be out there tomorrow. So.
Did you feel like yourself out there on Sunday, or did you feel like any impact?
No, I was fine, moving around fine. You know, I was open, and, you know, I was cool.
I feel it even more after the question. Did you feel like, no, seriously, though, did you feel like yourself out there? His self is always open.
Sorry, James,
that
not buying it.
I'm totally
okay,
with Ray.
Okay, well, you two disagree. Richie and I agree.
You're both wrong.
He asked, did you feel like yourself out there?
It's a difference of opinion. It's not being wrong.
His self is always open. That's his self. That's his identity.
Okay.
That's his thing. Did you feel like yourself out there? Yeah, I felt good. I was open.
Yeah,
I'm out there.
But I
that's what he says. I think you're making something out of nothing. I really do.
All right, so I'm with Ray. But 2-2, people can be the judge. What do you make of it? 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Will right now, Northeast Philadelphia. Good morning, Will.
Voltron, how y'all doing?
Super, Will.
What up, buddy?
Oh, man, great to hear from y'all. Thank you for accepting my call.
Of course.
I think we're going to have a great game Sunday. What I like to see is, like I've been saying the whole season, expand that playbook and activate all your weapons. Everybody.
I don't know about expanding the playbook. Just do what they do. Run it a ton.
Yeah,
keep it simple, frankly.
Keep it simple. I said that yesterday. Keep it simple. Back to the basics. But, you know, sometimes you got to give them a different look. You know what I mean? Just to throw them off.
Well, sometimes. Yes, that's right. Sometimes.
I like to see some hurry up offense, you know, like, because we could wear that defense down. Once the defense wore down, then we can have our way with them. And the main thing is, if we can, every drive, whether it's 7 points or 3 points, we want to put up a score against these guys. Because these guys got a great arsenal. And, you know, we want to have good clock management and just score almost every time we go down, even if it's a field goal.
Well, of course. But, that is the objective, to score until you take a knee.
Absolutely. And,
unfortunately, they don't do that often, but, you know, that's a whole nother matter.
Yeah, I think, you know, as long as the gameplay is right, I think we're going to execute everything.
No. As long as Jalen's right.
Because the team's just one guy.
No, but the other guys are going to do their job. It's the question is whether Jalen...
Right, because only one guy fluctuates with his performance.
He's the only guy that fluctuates as dramatically as he does.
Well, that's,
I mean,
that's
Saquon, when does Saquon fluctuate? He don't fluctuate.
That's
so
our
incredible
leader.
To me.
No, I mean, am I wrong, John?
He's the starting quarterback. Yeah. He always gets the most highlight,
spotlight. There are games where he stinks in the passing game.
Yeah.
I mean, there are. Last week was one of them. He stunk in the passing game.
Hey, just long as that play calling is good, we're going to execute. That's
all right, we'll see. Will,
it amazes me that we don't have any idea what his assignment is, what his expectations
are. Sure, we do. Read the defense and throw the ball.
To do. We don't know how.
On a passing play.
To read that defense.
No, we don't know that, but we know.
It amazes me that we just assume. He's doing it poorly when it doesn't
work.
Hold on.
Do you think I'm wrong to assume?
The wide receivers also are accountable for their actions, and the offensive line also is accountable for its actions.
You're going into excuse mode, though, right now. I mean, you really are.
No, I'm not.
He was the worst Eagles offensive player last week, perhaps other than Dotson, who no one pays attention to, right? I mean, no question.
I don't know.
I know. There's no question.
Eagles offensive player.
No question.
I've never tried to evaluate it quite like this, but sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was. And that's
maybe he graded. I don't know how he would have graded out, but it does amaze me that so many people with no idea of what a how to read a progression or what a progression is.
Yeah, it's not about progression.
We're saying that he's doing it wrong. We don't know that.
He played bad last week.
He played average last week.
Average, according to Ray Dinger, would be being kind.
Exactly. Will, give me an answer, my man. Who deserves a crown?
You didn't have to be alive still?
No.
Okay, I'm going to go with the best president we had, Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter? Holy macro. If you're going to go with the best president, I didn't expect the name Jimmy Carter.
I did not expect that.
No,
maybe
but anyway.
Best person?
Yeah, he got
president? Maybe you could say that.
He became much better. Like, people thought much better of him after he was
best
in
office.
Best
human to ever be president? Like, or one of them?
You can go with best president Abe Lincoln or Jimmy Carter. All right, you be the judge.